Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
1 Corinthians 2:9, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Welcome to Orphans No More. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. Joining me today is local adoptive mom, Mary Beth Burl. Mary Beth and her husband, Bill, live in Voorheesville and are parents to two grown daughters, Elizabeth and Margaret. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Mary Beth, you and Bill adopted your daughters when they were infants. They're now 26 and 19. Mm-hmm. We were just talking because I have a 26-year-old and a 19-year-old. Mm-hmm. What led you to consider adoption back then?
Well, I knew since I was in high school that I was probably not going to be able to have my own children biologically. So early in our dating relationship, I let Bill know, and he was more than gracious and accepting of that. And so after we got married, we didn't talk a lot about it, but we knew that would be the path to grow our family and have children. So I had made a call to community maternity services, and that kind of started the ball rolling as far as a wait list is concerned.
Wow. And then they actually contacted you.
Yes, like years later. It was probably three to 4 years later that they gave me a call, and I had, oh yeah, I did call you. And anyways, we started an adoption process there, and some classes and home study, and I think it was about, I don't know, maybe a year we waited until we got a call about our Elizabeth.
So Elizabeth was born in 1989. Tell us the story about how she came into your family.
Oh boy, we got a call. I was at work, and I suspected that at some point the call would come in. And they said, we have a little girl for you, and she's 6.5 months old. She's not quite ready to be relinquished yet, but we thought we'd give you some information on her. So, you know, I'm at work, and they're giving me all details, and, you know, your mind is just spinning, and I don't know what I was writing down. But I think I saved that piece of paper of all the little jotty things I wrote down about her. And I think it was the following week that we ended up going in, February 2nd, 1990, to bring her home. She was kind of caught up legally for a while, and so we didn't get her till she was 6.5 months.
Wow. Because she was sort of in a foster care situation, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. She was with a wonderful foster care family. We still affectionately call her foster mother, Grandma Ann. And Grandma Ann lovingly cared for her all those months. And when we got Elizabeth home, it was fantastic because we had the schedule. So the schedule was on the refrigerator, and it was kind of an easy adjustment. She slept great. She ate great. She really adjusted pretty well. The only issue was usually changing diapers and tubby. For some reason, she got very upset when we were changing her diaper, getting her ready for a bath. But the pediatrician had suggested at one point I get into the tub with her. And after that, it really was a quick adjustment, and she wasn't crying anymore. So it was an easy transition, and the whole family just embraced her and was so thrilled that this little girl was in our lives.
Aww. Now, Elizabeth's adoption wasn't initially an open adoption, but in the process of adopting Margaret 7 years later, things opened up with Elizabeth's birth family. Can you share a little bit about how that happened?
Sure. When we started the process of adopting a second child, the agency we were going through, Friends in Adoption, you come up with like a profile. So it's kind of pictures and things about your life and how wonderful your life is and why you should consider us as parents.
Right, kind of like a scrapbook of your family.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So for Elizabeth's birth parents, we were sending photographs and updates once a year. And that would go through community maternity services. And they would get the correspondence and go through and kind of black out anything that may be identifying at all. And anyways, when we got this profile ready to adopt Margaret, we decided to send through the agency this profile to Elizabeth's birth parents saying, this is at the point we're at, and this is kind of a great update of what's been going on the last year or so. So their Elizabeth's birth parents got these correspondence, and Community Paternity Services that inked out the identifying information. One of them was an 800 number we had for phone calls, prospective adoptive parents when we were trying to adopt our second one. And they took nail polish remover and got rid of the permanent marker and called our adoption line. And about a half hour or so later, we ended up speaking to them on the phone and made plans to get together.
Wow.
So it was really exciting. I can't say if that had happened a few years prior to that, I would have been excited about getting that call and been a little nervous. But the agency we were pursuing Margaret with had a lot of an open adoption, so we were hearing a lot about the benefits of open adoption. At the same time, my sister, who lived out west, she was pursuing an adoption, or actually had adopted her twin girls, who are now 22, but she actually went out and lived with those girls for about 2 months time frame, and was talking about how great it was to see their birth parents and their birth grandparents, and everybody kind of just embraced each other, and it was really a healthy situation. So I was comfortable with the idea of having open adoption, and Bill and I both felt comfortable about meeting Elizabeth's birth parents.
Because I think a lot of people, when they first think, oh, open adoption, they're kind of afraid of the idea of the birth parents being involved, like they're going to take over or something.
Right.
But you weren't really threatened by that.
No, I wasn't threatened by it. Sometimes they call it co-parenting. No, I wasn't at all. I felt like there was boundaries in place, and no one felt like they were, I didn't feel like they were pushy or wanted to know too much details or how we were raising them or how we were disciplining them. So I did not have any feelings of being threatened by their involvement at all.
Wow. So has Elizabeth maintained, Elizabeth, your first daughter you adopted, has she maintained contact with the birth parents? I know she's older now. She's married.
Yes.
What does that look like now?
Well, I think the time that she mostly saw her birth family was shortly after we opened up, and we kept that contact going. When she turned 18, 19, I kind of stepped back in the role of trying to instigate or arrange get-togethers and kind of left it with her. Some of her birth family did come to her wedding, which was 2 years ago, and it was great to have them there. Some of them weren't able to make it. Some of them lived out of town. But she's in contact on occasion with a couple of her birth sisters that she had. So it's kind of in her court right now.
Sure.
That's kind of a natural thing. But I personally haven't seen them since the wedding myself.
Right. So now Margaret was born in 1996. Tell us how she came into your family.
Well, again, we created this wonderful glowing profile of how much we wanted to be parents, and her profile was chosen to be looked at along with other profiles by a young couple. And the girl, Sarah, our beloved Sarah, and Jerry, our great birth father, Jerry, chose us to interview us about potentially being parents to their very small infant girl who had already been born. So we had gotten a call. I think Margaret was born on May, she was born on May 27th. I think we got a call through the agency we were with that Sarah, the birth mother, wanted to talk to us around May 30th. And I was away on a weekend, and Bill goes, you wouldn't believe who's on the phone with me. And it was Sarah, and we had a nice conversation with her and ended up making plans to meet them a few days later up in Vermont where they were from.
Wow. So, and you had shared with me that you were together, the surrender day where they,
yes,
you were basically handed Margaret by Sarah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It was a very emotional day.
Yeah.
We were thrilled. Part of us were thrilled, but we were sad for Sarah and Jerry as well.
Yeah. And they were, that situation was they weren't married. They weren't in a relationship anymore. and Sarah was in college.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She had plans to go on and get her degree in teaching, and they just felt that kind of splitting up custody without being together, I think that was part of the decision. It was going to be very difficult to parent Margaret at that time in their lives.
Yeah. So they really made the best choice.
Yes, a very unselfish, courageous
choice.
And we're just thrilled to have both our girls.
Yeah. And now Margaret is now 20. What kind of relationship does she have with the birth family, with Sarah, her birth mom?
Well, it has just blossomed into above and beyond what I could ever imagine it could be. We have a completely open adoption, and by that we just, they're like extended relatives. They're always invited to the gatherings. They did end up coming to Elizabeth's wedding as well. We're up there frequently. Sarah has now married. Sarah and Jerry are both married, and Sarah has two children of her own, Anna, who is 8, and Camden, who is 5, and Margaret, heart and soul, considers them her little brother and sister. And I guess maybe I'm a pseudo-grandparent to them as well, and Big Bill is what we're known as, and MB is what they call me, and we just love to see them and look forward to the next time we're there. And it's usually once every couple months that we see each other. We don't let too much time go by until we're seeing them. So it's really just like an extended family that we just love and care for so much.
Big Bill, because your husband's quite tall.
Yeah, he's 6 foot. Well, he's 6'9". Now he's 6'8".
Uh-oh, shrinking.
Yeah, shrinking a little bit.
And then this, the open adoption really was kind of from the very beginning. And Sarah's mom actually kind of kept that ball rolling. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, as you can imagine, Sarah was having a difficult time with the adjustment and letting go of her baby. And Pat was Sarah's mother, and I would frequently hear from Pat, and let's get together, and when can we see you again? And so that, again, was going on pretty frequently. We had a baptism for Margaret when she was probably about 3 or 4 months old. They were invited to that. We had a birthday party for her. They were invited down for that when she turned a year. We went up there at the holidays and continued to see them, and it just grew and grew, and we just got more comfortable with each other and just kind of embraced, all the families kind of just embraced each other, and we just love them so much.
Yeah, and you had shared with me, because Sarah went on to graduate and got her master's, and she wrote that thesis paper.
Yes, yes. Oh, I'm wonderful. She wrote a thesis paper on her experience as a birth mother. So
yeah.
It's wonderful to read about that, and to it's very emotional to read about it, because we knew some details and knew there was struggling and emotions going on at that time. But just to kind of hear from way back when she first discovered she was pregnant, and she really just did so much by herself those first months when she was pregnant, and just to see the whole picture of that thesis, it was just a wonderful gift that we got, and we're just very thankful for her. And she's now, it's kind of all out in the open. Originally, there was limited people that knew the situation, so now she's kind of embraced that whole title that she has of a birth mother, and she's going to make a difference in a lot of people's lives and be a lot of help to other birth mothers and adoptive families and agencies, I believe.
And I had the privilege of reading the thesis. You shared that with me, and she gave you permission to share that.
Yes.
And I sobbed through it.
Mm-hmm.
And what a tremendous perspective of such a courageous act throughout the whole process. And personally, I think it should be made into a little book, a resource for birth moms, for adoptive families. I mean, it really should be a book.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So hopefully we'll see that as in print, because it definitely should be a resource. Pregnancy resource centers could use that as a resource for expectant moms who aren't sure. Because oftentimes, sadly, young moms choose abortion because they don't know mm-hmm. that, you know, adoption isn't giving up your baby, but it's making that most courageous plan. It's the most important parenting choice they're mm-hmm. really making.
Yes, so, I agree.
So let's get that into book form.
Okay, I'll encourage that
Work
side
that.
Of it.
So I want to just remind our listeners that you are listening to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption and foster care or to contact us, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans. My guest today is local adoptive mom Mary Beth Burl. And Mary Beth and her husband, Tall Bill, attend Christ Church in Gilderland, and are adoptive parents to two grown daughters, Elizabeth and Margaret. We've been talking about open adoption, where the birth parents and the adoptive family have some contact. So your adoptions have been open. The girls have had contact for, you know, throughout their growing up years. Mary Beth, do you think open adoption was a good choice for your family?
I absolutely do. I do feel it was a very good, healthy choice for the girls. I think their adjustment, especially as I got older and had more questions, I think having that open adoption, the questions were pretty readily answered, most of them. I believe that they were able to adjust better to the idea of being adopted because they knew directly, more directly, why the decisions were made. They knew of the situations their birth parents were in at the time and could see the benefits of being adopted more than the questions that may be raised with somebody that has limited or very little information about where they came from. So I do believe for our family and for our girls, it was really a blessing to have that openness.
So I know every kid, you know, a kid who's adopted has those thoughts. Why did my parents give me up? Or why wasn't I wanted? Or why didn't they love me? That's always there. You know, if it's a closed adoption, they're out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know that they're out there somewhere and they dream of finding them. So like you said, with the open adoption, all of those questions, those whys, kind of go away because they have those answers and they know that they weren't unloved or unwanted, but with great love and courage, their birth parents made these decisions.
Yes, yes. Kind of a cool side note was our youngest, Margaret, was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when she was 8 years old. But we had known, too, from the records and from Jerry, her birth father, that he was diagnosed as a teenager for type 1. So we knew there was that DNA link or whatever
sure.
through that. And so I think one of the first calls, maybe the third call when Margaret was diagnosed, was to Jerry to let him know that Margaret was diagnosed, and he was a big support to us at that time.
Wow. Because that's such a key piece that oftentimes, especially with international adoption. I know four of my kids have been adopted from Ukraine, mm-hmm. and we don't really have much birth information. And one of my 12-year-old has severe scoliosis, so he has metal rods in his back, and he just had his spine was like a corkscrew. So, and as he grew, it just would continue to twist, which could jeopardize really, you know, the length of his life, because as it would twist, it could crowd the heart, the lungs, all of that. So really coming to the United States probably, you know, saved his life or gave him a much longer lifespan because of the care he's been able to get here. But I've had his surgeon say to me, well, you know, how tall were his parents? And I'm like, I have no idea how tall they were. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way to know that. We do have his older brother who's 18 and who's not, you know, I think he's like 5'8". He'll probably not be happy if I get that wrong, but he's not 6 foot, let's just say.
Okay.
He's not Tall Bill. So he, you know, at very average, you know, medium height, I guess I would say, and their sister too. So, but see, Jordan is tiny for a 12-year-old, and even the youngest one is tiny. And it's because of, for the youngest two especially, they were in an orphanage from birth to you know, they, one was three and one was five. So malnutrition plays a factor, you know, fetal alcohol syndrome plays a factor in, you know, small birth weight, small, you know, short height. So we don't really know, but it's so important to know. And when you have that component with the open adoption, you can know family history and important things like that.
Yes. Yes. It was really great that we had that information.
Yeah. So, Mary Beth, what would you like our listeners to know about adoption from your experience, from, you know, your family, what you've learned?
It's a wonderful choice. It comes with lots of blessings. I feel like being a parent, whether they're biologically or adoptive, you know, God uses your role as a parent to grow you into the person he wants you to be. And there has been, you know, trials with being a parent and behavior issues, and are we doing the right thing, making the right choices for schooling and other things we want to encourage them in. And through the blessings and the trials, God has just poured out his love on all of us. And I just feel like adoption has been used in our family to make me a better mom, a better person, a better wife. So I guess that's what I would say.
So I know God uses our experiences, like you said, and I've had that same experience where through the adoption, I even have a greater understanding of the gospel, I believe, because we know that according to the scripture, God adopted us into his family. And when you've adopted children, to me, it really painted a more vivid picture of what that really meant and what that sacrifice is and what that unconditional love is. And so I feel like my faith has grown too.
Yes.
In more ways than one, not just from the trials and the different things that we go through, that most parents go through, but adoptive parents have some extra things that they're going through. But that you know, really God moves in amazing ways.
Yes.
And we see that.
Absolutely. And about five years ago, I guess on occasion I would ask, oh, what would it have been like to have our own children? What would that have been like? What would that experience have been like? And about 5 years ago, I said, my heavens, if we could have our own children, I would not have my girls, probably.
Right.
I would not have Elizabeth. I would not have Margaret.
Right.
And it was very emotional because... Yeah. I'm so glad we have them.
Yes.
So glad. I couldn't imagine life without either one of them.
That's right. And, you know, I have three biological children. We have five adopted children. And we when we were in the process of adopting internationally, a concern of mine was, am I really going to be able to love these kids? Like,
yes.
I love these other kids. Like, I wasn't really sure how that was going to work. And I have to say, it's a miraculous thing because I love them with the same kind of fierce love, you know, and I've had to do some pretty icky things, especially with my little guy who has the scoliosis and he's had multiple surgeries. You know, I'm the one that gets to stay in the room overnight with him at the hospital and, you know, do all kinds of interesting things for his care. But it's just that mother's heart just kicks in and it's no different. It really is no different, that that fierce, you know, mother love. It's the same with all, you know, I've people will ask, so, you know, which ones are your real kids? And I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure they're all real.
Yes.
And they're all mine. So it's just some were born here and some were born, you know, in Ukraine, but they're all mine. And we just feel that same way about them.
Absolutely.
Incredible.
I agree.
Yeah. So any stories you want to share? We have a few minutes still that we can talk more about this to encourage our listeners on, you know, adoption is a huge step. God calls, he places the lonely into families. He calls us to care. So whether we're adopting domestically or through foster care or internationally, whatever God would call us to do, if you're called to adopt, it can be scary, no matter what way you proceed with it, but it's worth it.
Yes, I believe so. And the faith piece of it for me in the last 18 years or so has been huge, and seeing the blessings and knowing that this is meant to be and this is the daughters that I gave you. I would just encourage people to pursue, whether they're afraid, if this is something they want to, the husband and wife agree this is an avenue they want to head down. It's going to have ups, it's going to have downs. But to pursue through what are scary situations, worrisome situations, the idea of open adoption, too. I know some people probably would not welcome that as an option when they're pursuing adoption, but talk to people, and it's just really a wonderful option. It's a wonderful option for the birth mother and birth father to know that they can see their child still, and it's wonderful us to know that and to have your children know, again, more about where they came from and the whys. It's just a great choice. It's worked out so well for our families.
And really, when you're pursuing adoption, it's so important for the husband and wife to be on the same page.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We had pursued, or I pursued, I guess more so, once a third adoption. We were going to adopt internationally. And my husband was kind of reluctant. I felt I was kind of pulling him along. And there was a day we woke up and we had kind of started the process, but I felt God was saying, you need to have him on board to continue to pursue this. And I really kind of lost all peace with the idea of it. So that was comes kind of a hard lesson to learn. Mm. But again, yes, have both be in agreement on that.
Because it doesn't, I know for us, and I've talked to lots of families, oftentimes God will birth that idea with mom because that's, you know, that's how we are. Yeah. But he does, sooner or later, speak to the husband, you know, touches his heart, if that is what God is calling you to do, because no matter how you pursue it, the husband and wife have to be on the same page and united in the process. And when you're not, it can fall apart.
Yes.
But, you know, probably one of the greatest lessons for me was learning to just wait on the Lord to move on Wayne's heart and me not be, you know, the Holy Spirit telling him what he should be doing.
Yes.
So that's very important. So thank you so much, Mary Beth, for sharing your story and for all that you're doing there. And I just want to let our listeners know, like Mary Beth said, it's not easy, but it's worth it. And it can be difficult, but there is help and support if you are an adoptive or foster parent, or if you're planning to be. Mark your calendar. Justice for Orphans is hosting the Empower to Connect live simulcast on Friday and Saturday, April 8th and 9th. At Abounding Love Christian Fellowship in Ravenna, New York, Empowered to Connect is a two-day conference for adoptive and foster parents, ministry leaders, and professionals designed to help connect with children from hard places in order to help them heal and become all that God desires for them to be. So to learn more, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.